This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. I just love that opening music. I don't know why, but every week I am just dancing right to it. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? You got me, J. Lewis Mills, February 14th, 2018. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. I hope you all had a great day. I don't mean to bring the show down before it starts, but I would be remiss if I did not mention my friends, my fans, and my listeners that are there in Florida. What happened there in Florida today is a tragedy. Our hearts, my heart, goes out to you. I know that you will all rise from it, and I know that you will be stronger after. So you are in my prayers, you are in my thoughts. Now, let's get to tonight's show. You know, I feel like I do a lot of shows for my listeners. I do them for motivation. I do them for inspiration. But there comes a time when, you know, as a show host, you know, I have to do a show for myself. In Hollywood, you will hear actors say you do one film for them and one film for you. So, this show is absolutely for me. I have wanted to speak to my guests that I have that you can hear laughing in the background. I have been wanting to speak to my guest for a while now. It's just it hasn't actually worked out, but here we are tonight. She is a former LFL, which is Legends Football League All-Star player. She is a model. She is just a cool chick from Australia that is now breaking into the world of MMA. So without any further ado, I would really like to invite my guest this evening, Ty Emery, to the show. How are you doing, ma'am? Happy Valentine's Day.
And yes, happy Valentine's Day to everyone who's joining in with us. G'day. What an intro. You're making me feel, making me feel like a million bucks, mate.
Well, you should, because you look like a million bucks. Not trying to hit on you. Just
a
saying.
Million bucks in 1 cent.
Yeah, there you go. So I just really like to jump right into our conversations. My show is supposed to be an hour long, and if you listen to any of my shows, you realize none of them are an hour because they always go over. So I
Hell
anticipate
yeah.
the same going on here tonight. But the first thing I would like to ask you, and you know, we'll get into everything that you're doing. Trust me, I've got 21 questions, so I'm sure we're going to cover it all. But the first question for you, Ty, is what was the first organized sport that you played?
Ooh, okay. So first organized sport was football. So touch football. I grew up. I'm a football girl. Touch football for us is kind of it's a rugby league, rugby union, without the tackling and its tag. It's still just as aggressive if you make it, which I always did. But yeah, I've been playing that since hell. I was playing with the football before I even had toys. I never had Barbie dolls. I had literally had sports equipment. I had footballs. I had a skipping rope. I had weights. Hey, I was teased when I was a kid for that stuff, but you know, I guess things like from when I was a kid are now my passion and I'm living them every single day. So, yeah, football was my first organized sport. And then I eventually got into little athletics, which is just obviously anything track and field. But, yeah.
Okay. So let me just tell this little bit of a story.
Hit me.
I went to a couple of the LFL football games that were in Los Angeles. And I also had a family member that worked in the prison system, and she worked in the infirmaries. She worked for both the men's side and the women's side. And she would always tell us how much more brutal and how much worse it was when females would get into fights and have to go to the infirmary. So say that just to say the two LFL football games that I went to, I was sitting close enough to the field to actually hear what was being said and
that's a different world. See, that's what people, because everyone's like, oh, we won't go come to the games, you know, we'll watch it on TV. And you just think you're missing a completely different element, like a completely different element when you're literally smelling and feeling sweat. And you actually hear, you're actually able to connect with the players. Like, you're actually able to connect with us. Sometimes even able to sort of feed situations. They can feed arguments. They can feed, like, sometimes with a crowd's reaction, just the energy that can kind of come from there. Actually, I have seen erupt, I think it was in Atlanta, ended up erupting everything. From coaches and players, and it went out into the stadium. So when you're that close, you can actually, like, that's when people walk away, and it isn't until they actually watch it and hear us and, you know, can feel the passion that's coming from us players, they walk away going, oh my God.
Those were really women that I just saw and heard do and say all of that. And I mean, y'all were ready to fight. It was almost like you looked forward to the hits because you wanted that aggressiveness.
It's an opening. And a lot of the times, like, for the women, something takes over. Obviously, for humans, emotions are one of the strongest drugs that our body can feel. So for the chicks, even if they're on offense and they're getting tackled, they get up and they'll hit defense players, and they can't, you know, women take everything personal. I don't care. Yes. I don't care who you are. Every woman takes everything personal because we're emotional little beings. So as a defense player, because I was a defense player, when I would tackle someone on the offense, literally girls would get up and be like, what the fuck you do that for? Oh, beep. You know, like, what you doing for? Beep, beep, beep. And you just think, well, I'm a defense player. So yeah. I'm going to tackle you because that's my job. But like I said, like, they take everything gets taken to heart. So as you're tackling, as you're both getting up, they're angry that they got tackled. You're angry because they're getting angry that you're tackling them. You're just hating each other just because you're rival teams, you know. You're hating each other just because you're woman versus woman. LFL is such a different game just because of, like, what we wear. So you have to have a different confidence about you. You know, you have to have your own talent. You know how much hard work you've put in. And then when you're going up against another girl, this is where LFL, it is completely different. And reading reading your opposition becomes something different. Is she feeling inferior because it's a body image thing, which means she's actually angry about something in herself? Can I use that against her? Mm-hmm. There's a million other different things that you can kind of take into play when it comes into LFL, because everyone's beautiful. Like, every woman is beautiful. Yes, and every woman in the LFL is another breed of different woman who is, just as beautiful, obviously in a different way. Mm-hmm. It is a one size fits all sort of uniform. So it's bringing a body type, and it's bringing LFL is trying to bring a healthier body image. I guess it's helping with the muscle craze, like, you know, just being fit and feeling good in general. So yeah, when you're coming up a woman, and it's a part of our uniform to have, we have makeup on the field, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you've seen that, like, we have to wear eyelashes on the field. I don't care what chicks out there, when you get done up and your hair is beautiful and you've just had all your makeup put on, you know, it's kind of like the Cleopatra of yourself, you know, of your soul kind of comes out. So everyone's feeling themselves. Everyone's feeling themselves. And when you're feeling yourself, then you want to hit a bitch. When you're feeling yourself, you just want to hit something. Okay?
So let me just be a little honest. There was more than one time that I said hallelujah because somebody looked in your uniform. I'm just being honest.
And but, you should. That's I don't know. I love that stuff. I love the crowd. I love the crowd when they were hating on me. I love the crowd when they were loving on me.
Yeah. And but how did you feel about the how did you really feel about the uniforms? Because as much as I love it, and Lord have mercy, I love y'all's uniforms, but at the same time, I would really rather see the LFL football players wearing something at least like yoga pants. Is that wrong to think?
That's not wrong to think. And I do believe that that's where the new prototypes of the uniforms are going with the league. They're looking at, you know, something a little bit more protective, something a little bit more like yoga pants. Mm. But for me personally, and this is just, you know, this is just my opinion, I love the uniform how it is, because it brings a different sort of woman to want to come to that game because of
that.
The uniform. So if they're changing your uniform, then it's a different breed of woman that's going to come in there. Hence why, you know, okay, change us into the clothes of a rugby union women's football team. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we both swap uniforms. Mm-hmm. Neither of us are going to actually feel, you know, who's going to feel more comfortable. Like, we probably play in that, but like I said, on game day, when you're putting that sort of uniform on, like, we're women that feel good about going to the pool. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it makes absolute sense.
Yeah, and obviously in the league there are women who don't feel that great about themselves, and it's such a beautiful thing to be a part of, like, the sisterhood of the LFL, because, like, for me personally, like, I prided myself on trying to build the confidence in anyone who was around me, whether that lacked something, you know, from a past, or whether that had just had to do with body image. For me, body image is so external, and it doesn't literally mean anything. Like, we're just walking, talking, fleshy monkeys. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is what I'm born in. Like, I'm really lucky that I have that sort of mentality, but other women didn't have that. If they change the uniform, it's going to bring a completely different sort of personality type. And then they're going to have different characters on the field. Like, you know, like,
yes,
how we're abusing each other. Do you think you're really going to get that from women who would be more drawn to lacrosse? Or, oh, no, lacrosse is pretty similar. Golf. Golf,
yes,
perfect.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. How did you get to the LFL? How did you get to from what you were doing before LFL to, like, what was that whole process like?
It was pretty scary. So I'm an electrician by trade. I've ran my own business, and I finished in thermography. So thermography is, you know, the movie, like, Predator?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like Predator in a camera, and then I've used 10 years of electrical knowledge, just looking for faults, whether it be in, you know, machinery, in electrical switchboards, like, whatever it is, that's what I was scanning. So I was in a very stable sort of job. And one of my friends, she was the tight end for the Queensland Brigade. This is back in Australia, and we were living together. She knew I wasn't really still happy, and I was, you know, I've always been searching for something, because that's just the way I am. Monetary value doesn't really mean anything. I'm always just trying to enrich my soul in any sort of way, whether it's experience or just, you know, just evolving with my own growth. But yeah, I literally just wasn't happy still. One of my girlfriends, Cody House, just said, you know, you really just come down. She kind of near on had to beg me just to give me a little bit of like a boost. She took me down to one training session. I mean, literally instantly. I remember, I think I was just filling in for the running back. And I just remember them handing the ball to me. And just, I remember just feeling free. Bump, bump, step, step. See you later. And I just remember feeling just so good and running. And it was at nighttime, and just having that freedom and just running for that, you know, just running and feeling as free as I did. I literally knew in that moment, I was like, this game is for me. I was like, this game's made for me.
What does it mean to you to be named a Legends Football League All-Star?
To be able to finish and wrap up my LFL career, and knowing that I got to finish, you know, with that label, is probably one of my most honorable things. Anything that I commit to, I'm 110%. Like, I committed to being an electrical apprentice. Well, I wasn't happy with that, because, of course, I wanted to run my own business. So anything I kind of jump into, I want to make sure that I explore every single avenue, and I mm-hmm. give it everything that I got. And I did. I literally gave the LFL my heart, soul, years of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's years of sacrifice. I gave it everything. So to know that I at least, you know, I get to be honored with that sort of label, is, I feel like it's deserving. You know, I was physically there. I did a lot of good media for the company, mm-hmm. and I really helped push just positivity within the circle as well.
Yes, you did. You absolutely did. Would you go back? Would there be anything that would tempt you to go back, either as a player or a coach? Would you ever go back to the LFL?
Oh, mate. See, that one's a difficult one. Maybe, like, at present, like, no. Mm-hmm. I would have to say no. Mm-hmm. But then knowing that I have access, you know, to maybe 50 girls down to 25 girls, and being able to have access to inspire and to change people's life, like, that's a huge sort of pull for me, knowing that you're kind of the stone that's going to be able to make a ripple effect onto so many people. I think maybe later that would be something that I'd want to come into, but more as a helping project. I would have to be on a team for that. I think just the pull for me would be the sisterhood of the LFL.
Okay, that kind of leads into my next question. And if anybody has any questions or comments for Ty, you can give us a call at 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Do you still today, do you keep in touch with any of your former teammates? Like, do any of them that
yes,
still
yes,
playing?
You always okay. do. Like, you, like I'm telling you, I lived literally with my first quarterback, so Jane Caldwell. We went through ACL surgery together. And that was from our first season. You know, you're having to literally bathe some of your friends because of the injuries that you're getting during the games. That makes you tight.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
That makes you tight.
Unfortunately, I have the visual. But yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Will. and then being able to travel overseas with certain players, or there was American players that lived, you know, with us in Australia, and then being able to play with them over here. They're just experiences and brushings with people from different, you know, backgrounds, different towns in America. And, you know, like, it's just such a learning curve. It's such a learning curve to be with everyone. So I stay in contact with literally any of the girls who I ever played with. I've got girls who didn't even make the rookie sort of roster who I'll still, mm-hmm. you know, sort of contact as well and say g'day. I'm still... There's obviously everyone's got their favorites and everyone's got their cliques, but there's always usually a very mutual respect from any of the athletes towards each other.
playing Legends Football League football in Australia versus the United States, is there much of a difference, or what are the differences between the two?
It's completely different, like okay. completely different. So when I was in Australia, like I got obsessed with the game. I just start, you know, I loved it. I love everything about it. But it's still Australian coaches who were teaching us.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they've done a coaching course. But I will say my coaches in Australia were the amazingest team I've ever worked with. But in saying that, they still, you know, they had the culture, but to really understand the game from the perspective that I wanted, I knew that, well, who am I going to learn American football from? An Australian, or am I going to learn it being in America, surrounded by Americans, and actually understanding the culture? And I would, like, coming over here, I was completely right. Like, I'm hanging out with people and they're living, breathing, and literally, like, I feel like I've seen people, like, cut their blood just to spill on their football team's, like, flag in honor of them while they're out the mm-hmm. front of the friggin' stadium cooking up. Like, who, like, America, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I remember just walking and I just thought, wow, look at all these Barbies. Like, what do they even bring? Like, who even thought of this? So clever, you know?
Tailgaters,
yes. That's the word. Yes. But yeah, so just to be even sort of in that culture and then to be able to be inside and watching watching the game. And for me, I love the process. I love the end result. I bloody love competing, but you know, I really love the process as well. And that, to me, that kind of makes the journey. So I'm lucky enough that I got to be a part of a combine program that is with Golden Athletics Training Association up in Atlanta. So for all y'all, Atlanta, you want Gatta.
John Beesing
there. Yeah, all ATL. So I got to be, you know, I got to train alongside NFL players, and I got to be able to work with them, getting, you know, guys from college into the NFL. Like, we get them ready for combine, mm-hmm. and then, you know, we send them on their merry way and, you know, keep them in their teams. And so just being able to actually interact and, you know, read into the minds of those guys, mm-hmm. from every sort of level. I mean, like, I'm getting to, you know, immerse myself with the culture from the coaches to mm-hmm. young kids who are like 7 years old playing, mm-hmm. and then going to kids, you know, kids games, and just feeling and seeing out that sort of, you know, crowd that's going there. Like, America is just so, like, it's been around for hundreds of years, and they have just, like, literally they've fine tuned this game so beautifully. So to come over here and actually understand now, mm-hmm. I understand why the obsession when I was in Australia. There was just things where I'm like, I just don't get you, you know? Like, and how am I supposed to know that? Like, you know, you guys, it's a, how old is American football? You know, that's hundreds and hundreds of years of them fine-tuning techniques and recovery processes, and just what they're, you know, what they're even feeding the boys at 8 years old to make mm-hmm. sure that they're going to be someone where, you know, become an O-lineman when they turn 25 or whatever.
The NFL players that you were able to deal with and were able to work with, what was their respect factor that they showed to you there? Were they accepting of you, or were they like, oh, this is just some chick trying to play powder puff football?
Okay, or it's always usually number two.
Okay.
And hey, I can't, like, being in America now, I understand sometimes pretty faces aren't the real deal. So, yeah. You know, and I'm used to that. Even being an electrician, I've always been used to that sort of, you know, those sorts of comments. Mm-hmm. But that always changes, you know, time always changes things, because people be watching, like, people always going to be watching what I'm doing and not yes. just what I'm saying. So
yes.
it never takes me long to get respect from people, because I'll grind the shit out of that work. Like, okay. I'll make sure that I can grind harder than anyone who's around me. And most of the time I try to outperform the guys.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you absolutely get their respect.
Yeah.
What was the first American city that you came to from Australia?
Where did I come to first? I'm pretty sure I went straight to Atlanta. So okay. When I was coming over, I went Atlanta, Omaha, Las Vegas, and that I was meeting those teams to see who I was going to play for in my first American season. So it was Atlanta. That's why I've always got a soft spot for Atlanta. I love it.
Okay. And who would you say is your athletic inspiration, either male or female? Who do you look to, or who do you watch, or even who do you get advice from? Like, who is the one that inspires Ty Emery?
I have set people that I'll go to for different sorts of things, but John Beesing, who is my strength and conditioning coach, honestly, he's probably kept me the most sane.
Okay.
I found that I'm probably one of my best coaches, just because I get so obsessed. I find kind of what works for me. Mm-hmm. That usually is going against the grain, so I can sometimes get a lot of flack for it. But mm-hmm. I know how I learn, and I know how I want to perform, and I kind of tend to seek those things out. But I like to have just a solid person that I can go back to and ask the simple questions. Even if it's just, I need you to listen to me while I cry and boil my eyes out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm back to normal. Sorry for being emotional and a female back then. I got to go back and, lift some heavy weights. Okay. So, probably Beesing. Yeah. John Beesing is the John Wooden of my time.
Okay. Okay. And what transitioning from Legends Football League into mixed martial arts,
yeah.
what brought you to the world of mixed martial arts?
It was Coach Follis and then Misha Tate and Brian Caraway, all three of them. I met Misha at the gym, and then she sort of introduced me to Coach Follis. And then Coach Follis had he had a women's development group that Misha had gotten myself onto. So I was just super pumped to have. At the time, I was actually receiving a bit of flack from some of my LFL coaches saying about my dedication and, like, that I wasn't really performing. I wasn't training very well, which, anyway, that's another story, mate.
Okay.
They'll probably listen and I'll be like, hey, who's a real, no, who's doing good now? No, it doesn't matter. But, no, so to have someone of that sort of caliber say to me, be impressed with how hard I worked and, you know, how hard I sort of trained. She sat me down and at the UFC Brisbane that I went with her to, and she said, you know, I feel like you've got a love that's missing, and I feel like the love that you're looking for is in this sport. And that kind of that pretty much planted the seed. It took me a little bit longer because I loved football and I didn't want to let go of football.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what happens with the universe? Once you let go of a fear and kind of, you know, just fall into faith, everything sort of pans out.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And honestly, that's the best thing I ever did, being in Coach Follis's women's development group. It helped me to just get my confidence. And, you know, if they sort of believe in you, of course you start to, you really start to believe in yourself. I always make sure that you're a product of your environment. So,
yes.
And I'm a physical and sort of a mental reps person. Mm-hmm. So I always like to make sure that if I'm going to be watching and learning that I've got some of the best people around from me. So having people like that pull me into the sport gave me a lot of confidence. And it's never going to be easy. And I'm like every single day, there's someone who still doubts, I guess, the reasons why I'm wanting to do this.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, that's how it's flowed. Like I had no idea that I wanted to fight. And who knows, playing 50 cups might not be my thing, but you know, right now I'm really loving everything that it's bringing into my life and bringing into my path. So I think as long as good things are coming, you know.
Okay. Here's an interesting question for you.
Yeah.
What would you do, or how would you handle it if you had to face a former LFL teammate in the octagon? What if there was somebody else, one of your teammates, that said, you know what, I want to do MMA too, and oh boy, look who I have to face. How's that going to go down?
I would love that shit.
Are you serious?
I would love that shit.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that we both put on the best fucking show so that people would never, ever question an LFL player again.
You know? Wow, that's actually a pretty hard
answer. I would make sure it would be a good throwdown.
Have you had a professional? I tried looking at this up online, but have you had a professional fight yet? And if not,
No, I have not.
Okay.
So that was meant to happen last August. Mm-hmm. That was meant to happen last August, and it didn't happen. It fell through. The girl pulled out, I think, like 2 weeks before. So I'd up until that point, I think I'd only been training for maybe like 8 months, eight to 10 months. And in my mind, I just was like, hey, let's give it a whirl. At least then we can kind of see where I'm at from there. And, that's where the fixing sort of happens. So since August, I had two other fights also fall through, a few weeks before the fight was meant to happen as well. And that's just a normal thing that's in the MMA world, especially at where I'm at, the level that I'm at and entering into. A lot of girls will just, tend to pull out. I'm down here right now with Extreme Couture. I've got a fight lined up April 21st in Oregon. So the Extreme Couture gang will be traveling out there and taking on some of the best from Oregon. That's going to be the first one.
Okay, and how different is the training for a mixed martial arts fight versus the training that you went through for Legends Football League?
I was honestly, I really enjoyed wrestling and boxing when I was playing football. The boxing helped with my hands, helped with my reaction, and I loved the wrestling just because we were never really allowed to be that aggressive during training sessions, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've kind of always enjoyed that sort of training. So coming into the fight training now, it's just more of it and a larger variety of it. And because I'm so obsessed with it and passionate about it,
yeah,
there's just more things. Like, jiu-jitsu never ends. Like, you can never know everything in jiu-jitsu. Well, mm-hmm. you know, like, you can always be learning from something. And so because I like boxing, wrestling, which is also sort of grappling. I like the jiu-jitsu and, you know, kickboxing. There's always sort of something that I can be jumping into. So the training is, for me, is the same, but I'm happier now that I'm completely immersed into the fighting because I feel like it's more up my alley. Like, I feel like I just feel like there's more of it. It keeps my mind happy. And it's so much more intense. Even just emotionally, because it's honestly, it's the journey that kind of starts ticking in and it starts ticking over in your own mind. And like they say, like, whatever's internal is kind of external. So it's crazy the stuff that starts happening as soon as you're in a fight camp. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, it's just something always dramatic is happening because it's testing you. It's testing mm-hmm. your discipline and it's testing your focus. And that's, you know, and it's also you having to know your own body, like mm-hmm. when to stop, when to not stop. And that's just making sure that you know, if you're not good at that, making sure you've got the right people around you, and delegating that sort of thing, whether it be, okay, yesterday I was, you know, last week I was tired, and every day adjusting to how you feel. So I would always have like a timetable of everything sort of set out, but some, you know, sometimes that changes and I'm OCD and anal. So, you know, it took me a long time to just figure out that, hey, it's probably better to miss that session than mm-hmm. go in and just completely annihilate my body and then I'm KO'd for like a week.
Would you say you have a stronger ground game or you have a stronger stand-up game? Not trying to give your opponent in April any
I reckon stand-up, honestly. Okay. I reckon stand-up. But I've come from Maori, New Zealand sort of line. They had three subjects in school. Obviously, you know, this is, you know, back in the tribal days, but it was basket weaving, it was wrestling and boxing. So, you know, I've kind of just fallen into things that I love and just mesh with, I guess, my genetics and my personality. So yeah, I don't know. I want to bang, but also I've got to get smart. So.
Okay.
You can't just bang anymore.
Did I happen to read correctly that you spent some time with American Top Team?
Yeah, so I'm actually with American Top Team in Atlanta. So when I'm living in Atlanta, I train with American Top Team. And then when I'm in Vegas, I'm Extreme Couture. So right now, my life has me in Las Vegas, so I'm with Extreme Couture. And that's who I trained with during my 2 years that I was living here when I was playing football. So it honestly, I'm back here in Vegas and I'm with my big brothers and I really can honestly see how the universe has kind of shot me back because you really need a family. Like when you're in the fight game, they're not just your friends. Like these people become your family. And because it's an environment where it's such intense conditions, like, and they're, you know, everyone's like instinctual and everyone's like very, you know, everyone's really sensitive. So you can bond it like almost instantaneously with certain mm-hmm. people, you know, you just bond so much faster. So yeah, I'm happy to be here with the Extreme Couture, Eric and Dennis and the boys. Like I literally love those guys. Yeah, I would come in here when I was playing football. I mean, I was at this gym all day, every day watching film. Like they would come past and I'd fallen asleep because I'd be watching film for that long and tired from doing three hours of training. Like, yeah, these boys have respect for me and they know how hard I'm going to work for them. And, you know, I know that they're going to love me and protect me in return, too.
Speaking of, since you brought up Las Vegas, it's kind of a good way to segue into my next two questions. And I'm just going to put these two questions into one just so that we can move on from them. So my questions are, Would you ever sign with the WWE? Their next pay-per-view is out there in Vegas, so that's what I mean by the whole segue thing. Would you ever sign with the WWE, and what do you think of Ronda Rousey signing with the WWE?
I would 100% sign with the WWE. I think that would be an awesome transition. Mm-hmm. But that's just for my personality. But I'm also would like, you know, I really like to compete, but At the same time, I think WWE is a huge platform, and if that was to be laid out, why would you say no? Mm-hmm. But hey, that's me. Obviously, there's other mixed martial artists who would probably prefer to slit their own throat and and drown.
That was kind of why I was asking, because not all MMA fighters would go to WWE. So I just wanted to see how you felt about it.
Yeah, and I guess because I wasn't brought up around anything. I was on my own. So coming into the MMA world, I didn't realize that there was, you know, there's politics in everything, and I guess fight game politics are just even crazier, like just even more different. And that's because this is like it's their entire life work. Like, you know, people have been doing this since they were a toddler, you know, of course they're going to be holding on to those sorts of rules and I guess disciplines for themselves. But hey, that's their opinion and that's like up to them. But for me, like, I love entertaining. I love having fun. I think that would be an awesome platform to be able to reach out. And for me, it's more just being able to know that that's a huge platform to be able to reach and help people. So that's like my sort of angle of it. Like I said, someone else, they'd rather drown in their own blood.
Yeah. What do you think of Ronda Rousey signing with the WWE? Do you think that's good,
or
do you
think
you do?
Okay. Good on her. Like, good on her. Everyone's got to make a living. Everyone's got some bread and butter. Like, you know, like you got to live, mate. And you know, just no. There's not anyone I've ever met who's played sport or been a musician or been an actor. And when you talk to them and you see the micro expressions like in their face, like light up when you're more talking about the energy of the crowd, like, oh, what about this? And guess what? Our bodies don't hold out forever. But if you talk to anyone and you see their face and you're like, would you want to go back and, you know, if I could give you that moment of playing in front of the crowd again, would you do it? Every single one of them is going to say yes, because it's so different when you have a crowd, like you can, like, it's so different. So for her, this is her way of being able to have, you know, have the itch scratched, I guess. Like,
yeah,
she gets to entertain and she gets to use what God's given her. She, you know, she's got a million talents. Why waste them?
Why waste them? Exactly. Would you, I'm sure the answer for this is the same as the WWE, so I'll change my question. If you ever fight in the UFC, who would you like your first opponent to be?
Oh, hell. Can you even call out if you've never fought? I don't even know about that, because I know that this chick's going to be sitting on the end booth just being like, really, bitch? Like, really? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Give it a go.
Hey, you never know. Somebody could be listening and they might know somebody. It's like, hey, Tay Emery says she wants to fuck you up.
Honestly, I don't even know. Honestly, I wouldn't even know.
Did you ever fight Misha?
Misha, well, she's a weight class above me, and I don't think I could. Well, I'd give it a go if we both wanted to bang, but she's going to have that mum power coming back, so, you know. She'll have mum strength. Man, I'm telling you, I saw her at the UFC Performance Institute, and I'll just let you know, like, she's a woman that no matter what, like, you're always going to have huge mad respect. She's pregnant, and I saw this, like, here I am sitting out, I was feeling crook and my knee, you know, my knees aching, my body literally was like, you have to be sidelined, and out of nowhere you just see Misha pull out and they're all doing ground and pound. She pulls out the gloves, drags over her, and starts doing the ground and pound class, and in my head I just thought, I'm like, that's a real woman.
Yeah, right.
So if I was to ever fight her, like, hey, that would, like, lucky for me, like, how blessed am I to get swap and punch faces and just be able to have, you know, just battle our skills out. Like, it's me versus you, or you versus you as well, you know? Yeah.
Is that an aspiration?
It would be an honor to fight her. Pardon?
Is that an aspiration of yours to one day fight in the UFC, or are you just happy banging wherever you do it?
Honestly, I'm happy banging wherever it goes, but obviously I am trying to be a little bit more strategic and seeing, you know, what sort of other avenues can open from this. Fighting, you're an entertainer. Like, you can be marketed as an entertainer. So really the sky's the limit. And hey, for one thing, I've had a million people tell me that I wouldn't even get this far, you know?
Yes.
So for me, I never even believed that I never even thought that I would have someone like Misha Tate say, hey, I feel like you would fall in love with this. Like, who would even imagine that? And then, yeah, now I'm down in Vegas and what, you know, my coach is Caraway, which is her ex-partner. Like, it's just crazy how the universe sort of swings things around. And I've got like these supportive people who are at the top of their game, who know I'm a little rough around the edges, but know that I hold a lot of things that other people can't. You can't train the things that I already hold.
Yes.
Like eventually, given time, like I'm going to have what you have, but you're never going to have the things that you can't, like that I have in me that make me different. So
what is it like training with Brian Caraway? What's that like?
He's like Google. He's like Google. So much information, and you get to a point. Like I feel like he's like, I mean, like he's like a daddy role, like you know, like a daddy joke role or an annoying brother. And I say annoying, and I know I'm gonna get back. He's gonna be like, Ty, I hate you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Brian. Like, shut up. But he's like. It's honestly, it's amazing to just kind of see someone at his sort of level work. He's so cerebral, and he knows so much that for him, his more training is to trying to not think of it, you know, trying to not think of it and also coach. Like he loves, as you know, if you can do, you know, he can do and he can teach well. So, honestly, he's amazing. He's so supportive. He's so supportive of me. And honestly, he is so supportive of everyone who's in his group. Like anyone that has a passion and just a general like love and interest, like he really, like you can watch him and he feeds into those people. Like he just loves it. And the fact that he just loves it and he's so passionate about it, like of course that pulls heartstrings because you just think, you know, like he's doing good. Like I said, it's the ripple effect. Brian is that same sort of thing.
Now, how are you able to manage, juggle, whatever the right word is, how are you able to manage your MMA training and an MMA career with modeling? How does that work for you?
Modeling had to take the back burner.
Okay.
I'm definitely taking a compared to, you know, I've been modeling since I was 20. I think I think I've been in magazines from the age of 20 on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that, hey, tables turn, it comes and goes, jobs come and go, projects come and go. For me, I'm honestly just so happy. I'm just so happy training and I'm just so happy where I am mentally that, you know, maybe right now that's just not something that I'm really even, you know, reaching out and looking for it. Okay. When things come. When a few things have popped up and, you know, I've said no to a couple of things and I've said yes to a couple of things. And that's kind of just how I'm kind of winging, you know, kind of doing it. Most of the time the modeling jobs come up when I'm in a fight camp. So the last thing I think I'm just like, you know, no.
So no. To just go back a little bit, because there is something you said earlier that I kind of wanted to touch on. When you have a fight that's scheduled, you know, I know you have to be in a certain mindset. Is it deflating when you hear that a chick dropped out, or is that, are you so, is it just part of
the worst feeling ever?
Okay.
And it wasn't until, so my one of my coaches is Douglas Lima. That's back at American Top Team in Gwinnett. And it wasn't until I kind of talked to him and, you know, he was just so passionate and like his fists came down and his head came down and he was like, damn it, you know, and he was just as passionate. And, you know, because they aren't like they understand. And anyone who has fought or is even trying to fight or is still trying to, they're still in the right, you know, the rabbit hole rat race of trying to get a secure fight. Like they all know, like every cell in your body is going towards this one, you know.
There's one event,
one hurrah.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything's in it. You start breathing, like, you just start breathing different. You start thinking different. As a female, like, your hormones start, like, changing. So then that puts you in a different sort of mindset. Like, for like, you know, your period's pushed off. Like, that's what I mean by like hormones. Like, I mean, everything changes. Like, everything changes. And then okay. It's just like the worst. You're like, okay, I'm like everything. And then when they tell you, I mean, I've been broken up with before. Thank you, exes. Like, you set me free. But no, like, it's literally worse than that, because this is something that you're doing for yourself, and it's all that work. And when it's kind of taken away, like, honestly, for me, I felt like it was it's devastating. It's literally devastating.
How do you go about, because you haven't had any fights yet, how does your manager or your teams or whoever, how do they go about even finding you a fight?
Well, all of that is definitely now changing. That I've got my head coach as Brian Caraway, and I'm under back with Extreme Couture with Eric and Dennis Davis. That whole light has completely changed. Like I said, I've been here not even a month. I have, you know, a few different fights all set up, and things are moving forward. So, I don't know what to tell you. Things are looking better. So, okay. You know, not having any fights for me, just because, I guess for me, you're just like, I want to be able to prove, you know, to myself that this, you know, this is what I've been training for. And, mm-hmm. It's more that moment. I want the moment more with myself. It's not for anything else. Like, it's more when you go to training, like, it's more the journey there for me. But yeah, I just want it over. I want it done. I want to be able to go, yep, add that to the resume. I knew it.
The television show, The Ultimate Fighter, if they do another season where it's all female fighters, is that something that you would try and get into?
Yeah, why not? Who's to say that I shouldn't be able to put my name down?
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Okay. Do you know this?
And even for just trying to get into the UFC, like, I don't know where I'm going to, you know, honestly, mate, I have no idea where I'm going to go. Like, what I've learned, like, anything can be taken away. Like, tomorrow I might snap my neck and it's all over. And I was meant to build up to here to inspire something else. Like, you know, I have no idea. I know that the end game and the image that I have for myself is being successful. And I focus on that image. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as I focus on that image of myself being successful and myself being a champion, then, you know, the rest will sort itself out. But I just have to have a belief that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be the best version of me, and I'm going to be a competitor. And, the rest will figure it out.
Okay. How do up and coming female athletes approach you or see you? Do you see yourself as a light of inspiration and motivation for up and coming athletes? And how do you deal with that whole thing?
Honestly, I think I really don't probably give myself enough credit, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how everyone sort of takes it. I know there's a lot of good and then there's a lot of bad, mm-hmm. but I think all of the bad is definitely wiped away when you do have young athletes come up and talk to me. You know, just the fact that I'm in another country, like, or just the fact that, you know, I'm giving it a go, whether people are laughing at me or not. Like, I think being able to do things like that will help to strengthen anyone, you know, and inspire anyone to, you know, even if they just want to, like, you know, oh, one day, now I want to be the best collecting stamps. Well, buddy, I believe in you. Collect every motherfucking stamp there is. Like, I believe in you, you know?
Yeah.
And I will 100% believe in that person, because if you just have one person believing in you, like,
yes,
it's amazing at, like, what you can do, you know? Like, mm-hmm. you just have something else, you know? You just have something else that's inside you when you just have belief from others. I love when other people will come up, and if they say that I inspire them, then, you know, of course I probably pretend like I'm all tough or whatever, but I am like I'm like such a big softy. Like, I love that stuff. I just think it's amazing. So, you know, that kind of, I'm like, oh, And then obviously I want to hear about their journey and, you know, talk about things like that and nut that out, because they've been, you know, it probably took them a lot of courage to even come up and be able to talk to me and, you know, just to even say this, you know, say, hey, I was so scared to do this. And some, you know, just by you giving it a go, like I gave it a go and now I'm doing this. And, you know, I think that's just such a beautiful thing. Like people should never tell anyone that they can't. Or that they should, should give up.
Absolutely,
I like it.
So, what's in the short term? I know we spoke about your your fight. Actually, April isn't really too long term away. So, other than the fight that you're having in Oregon, mm-hmm. however you say it, What's next for Ty Emery? Like, what's next on your schedule? What are you up to?
Well, right now, I'm a part of Caraway's team. So, he's got an upcoming fight with the UFC at T-Mobile on March 3rd. So, I've kind of been down. I'm shadowing him. Obviously, we're just mixing to see whether, you know, as a coach and an athlete that, you know, that's just going to, chemistry is going to work. But I've been lucky enough. I'm coming down here. I'm working on his team and doing much like what I did with the combine program, but a lot more hands-on. So I'm getting to, after our morning skill sessions, stretch, yoga, and just kind of work on the athletes. So just being able to have access to Brian at any second while he's home, like I'm making – you know, I'm prepping our shakes. I'm getting to see the meals that we're doing. Like I really get to be involved. Just because, I love that sort of thing and I'm giving it a knack. So that's my project right now. So everything right now is just about, easing back in, to Las Vegas sort of life. And then, just giving everything that I can, whether it's to Caraway or any of the guys, that we're training with. Just trying to keep everyone healthy so that everyone can be training as hard as possible, to make sure that Caraway is, you know, he's going to walk away as a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the biggest goal that you have yet to achieve?
I don't know. Anything I set my mind to, I get and I accomplish. Okay. So.
Okay. All right. And you say that you're in Las Vegas now. How often do you go back to Atlanta, or once you're in one place, you're there for a minute?
Mate, I'm a gypsy. I'm practically a gypsy. No,
free spirit. I like that.
So I've just come back to Vegas. I've only been here maybe 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks. But this is where it all started. So, you know, that's how it's kind of come back around, and this is where I am. And, you know, right now this is where I'm the happiest person that I can be. And that's right now here and where I'm training. So that's literally how I kind of do things. If opportunities close, new opportunities open. And honestly, I'm just kind of, I'm happy to be back, you know, with people that I spent 2 years with, who saw me at my highs and saw me at my lows during the LFL. So they know who I am, you know, they really know me. They actually took the time to actually really know me and care. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So Vegas is a spot.
I don't mean to keep bringing up your match and your fight in April, but
bring up whatever
I would
you
like to know. I absolutely would like to know, how early do you start? This is February. April is not too far away.
Yeah.
When do you start studying your opponent, and what do you know about your opponent so far? And when do you
She's a 1-0. She's a 1-0. It was karate. I think she's karate and jiu-jitsu girl.
Okay.
She's 1-0, karate jiu-jitsu girl, lives in Oregon. And that's pretty much right now. That's sort of all I know. For me, so I'm someone who's an overtrainer. Like I overtrain, and I'm glad that I had those three fights. You know, I didn't get to fight, but at least I really got to learn the process. And for me, like I said, it's the entire process. So, you know, from those three times, like I didn't get to fight, and that was so upsetting. but everything I documented now, you know, each time I got better and took something out or added something in, whether it be more striking or more recovery on that day, or being, you know, having a, making sure that I had a sleep in the day after that I did late jujitsu, and so then I could go into a different sparring. Like each time I just sort of learned something else. So for me, I kind of know that most, I think most camps and kind of what they do at Extreme looks to me kind of like everyone sort of starts at maybe the 8 to 6 week mark. So for me, I'm probably, you know, I'm always training. I'm never not training. And right now I've got, I'm, you know, a part of Caraway's camp. This, you know, every single one of these athletes are high level athletes. Most, you know, most of them are UFC athletes, or they're traveled from another country. Like, so we've got mate from Russia, Vlad Popovsky. We've got fucking Julian. Sorry, I'm like dying here. We've got Julian. He was UFC. We've got who else? We've got Gina, she's UFC. We've got Tim Elliott, he's UFC. So, you know, right now it's just a lot of studying for me, and I'm just trying to learn from all of them. You know, just trying to learn from all of them. And then about 6 weeks out, I'll be really just trying to, I guess, hit it, start getting more of my conditioning ready.
Okay.
Because it's conditioning.
At what point do you start actually training specifically for your opponent? Because like you said, this one is karate jiu-jitsu. What if it was somebody that had a better boxing game? Like, when do you start training specifically for your opponent, if ever?
Hell, as soon as you figure it out.
Okay, and when does the shit talking start?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be a shit talker.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I'm kind of too nice. And, you know, whatever game she wants to play is going to be the game that she's going to play, and I'm really just going to play my own, you know.
Okay.
So, and you're not I don't even think mine's like a game. I think it's funny. It's kind of, that'd be like reminding me of LFL. So LFL, you know, we have the four captains, and they choose the four captains, and before each game we come out and we meet the other four captains, and we all stand there and size each other up, and, you know, sometimes a few words are sort of said, but it's in that sort of moment. Like, for me, I like being able to read people's energy. So I'd sit there and I'd be looking at the first one and I'm like, yeah, bitch ain't nothing. Second one, like, maybe she's got, you know, she's got a little bit of fire in her. She's got a little bit of fight. Third one's mouthing off and you're just like, for me, I'm Australian. So I just laugh at that, like, sort of stuff. I think it's hilarious because it's an act. Like, so when someone's, like, acting, or even if someone's, like, acting like that, I just think that, I just find that stuff funny because it's ridiculous.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we've got about 3 minutes and 45 seconds left. Let me go ahead and thank you very kindly for being here. I had a great conversation. Sometimes we have people call in, and then sometimes the conversation is so good, people just don't want to interrupt it. So, you know, maybe next time we'll have a caller, but I always like to ask my guests, you know, what their final thought, what they want to leave my listeners with. So now you have 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
I got 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Honestly, hell, just thanks for listening in, and, you know, thanks for listening to the journey of, you know, yourself and myself. It's crazy for me to just think of where I've sort of come from. I grew up in housing commission. I came from a broken home. I've been abused, you know, you name it. Like, it's happened to me. Trust me.
Okay, we got to have you on.
Just to kind of know that I was always alone. Like, I've always been alone. And then just to think that, hell, I'm now living in America and I'm figuring it out. Like, somehow it gets figured out, and I'm just following, like, my heart. And that's, you know, I hope that everyone just can follow your heart. Like, if you're happy and your heart feels happy, then that means everything's sort of resonating, and that means everything is, you know, everything is vibrating your way. Like, that's what life is meant to be about. And that's, you know, it's meant to be about gratitude, appreciation. And for me, I just love anything that has to do with the discipline, discipline and hard work. And honestly, like, anyone can do it. Like, I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm doing it. Whatever it is, I'm doing it. If I want to do something else, you know what? I'm going to do that too. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you very much for being here. And, you know, the one thing that I would like for my listeners to take from this whole our conversation is that you can come from nothing and make it to being something.
Yeah.
All you need is hard work, dedication. There's a lot that you have to sacrifice. But once you sacrifice what you have to sacrifice, trust me, speaking from someone that has sacrificed a lot just to get to where I am, once you sacrifice what you have to sacrifice, it is so much beautiful on the other side of that mountain. All you have to do is overcome that mountain. Thank you once again for being here. Good luck with your fight in April. Please keep me posted through email, Instagram, whatever. I would love to come and cheer you on.
I kind of already think I know
how you're going to put this chick down. So I just want to be there to actually see it. And I can't thank you enough. What you do for women in sports and what you do for the up-and-coming woman that doesn't think they can do it, all they have to do is listen to this conversation that we had. And that's really why I wanted you on my show. I know that I said this was a passion project, so to speak, for me, but I wanted you on because I knew, and it was like when I contacted you through Instagram, I said, I really think you would do something to empower some of my female listeners. So you did what I thought you were going to do, and I absolutely appreciate you for it. And what I have to say now is we are out.
Catch ya. I was like, g'day.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the music. It's going to happen sometime here. We're going to hear the ending music. Perfect it's coming ending. Sometime.
Just how I like it. With technical glitches.
Don't know what we're listening to now, but I know there's going to be music. It's definitely on its way. I can feel it.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, I can feel music. I really honestly can.
Oh, my gosh, mate. You're killing me. No, oh my gosh, yeah. Thanks for having me on. I'm just, yeah, what a good way. And honestly, like things that you were saying, even in the closing off, I love that you said you've got to let go of something. And that's, it might be a poisonous relationship. It could be something poisonous that you're taking. It could just be, a secure job. But once you let go of what you think that you need so much, you realize that you don't need anything and everything comes.
And that's absolutely what I had to do. There were so many people that told me, I guess we're just going to keep talking.
Yeah, who cares? We'll wait till the music cuts us off.
There were so many people that told me I would never make it as an actor. As a matter of fact, I don't really want to give her 15 minutes of fame, but
how I felt. I was like, I don't want to talk about certain things, but then I'm like, it's there.
Yeah.
But you don't want to just like... Yeah, you don't want to make them feel like they've got the credit.
Exactly. And I had a family member almost a year to the day. It was actually March 14th, 2014. A family member told me that I was living a pipe dream and I would never make it on anybody's television show.
Hell no.
I would never make it in anybody's film. And on March 12th of 2015 is when I went to the audition for the show that I was on NBC, which was Heartbeat. If you have Amazon Prime, you can check out our first season of Heartbeat. So, but you know, it took me so long to what I actually did is I stopped giving respect to titles and I started giving respect to people. Like just because you're my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle,
my best friend.
My best friend. I can go down the line. I don't care what title you hold. It's how the fuck do you treat me? How are you acting towards me? If you're acting a certain way, I wasn't that kid. I was that kid that people would have to tell me over and over again. Yeah, but that's your mother. And then finally, I started saying, well,
it doesn't mean nothing.
Exactly. And I was like, well, I'm her son. So why don't you go tell my mother? Why don't you go remind my mother that I'm her son, instead of you coming to me telling me you can't talk to my mother, I can't talk to her this way, or I can't talk to my brother, I can't talk to my sister. I don't give a damn who you are. Yeah. It's all in how you treat me. And mm-hmm. once I actually embraced that, then that is when I really started understanding that all I had to do and all I could do is recognize and appreciate and embrace my own worth. Yeah. I stopped giving that kind of respect.
It's your own worth. It's valuing yourself and realizing that value, but really knowing it and believing in it. And one thing that, you know, I got told once and it kind of is stuck is, yes, there is family. And, you know, I know everyone's family is important. Family is this. And that, hey, you are so blessed that, you know, you're blessed that you have that situation and those relationships in your life. But that isn't for everybody. So I hate when anyone says, that's your mother. No, that person gave birth to me. Like, and the one thing that I got said was, just because they're your family members and they're related through blood, all that gave them in life was one step closer to being your real friend.
Yes.
Does that, you know, and it took me a little while because I just thought, but the, oh, we are done.
You are. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.